Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Jonah is a wonderful Old Testament book that's tucked away in the Old Testament, that's overlooked and underemphasized in our day. It's the 32nd book of the Old Testament. In it tonight is called one of the 12 minor prophets tonight. And when you study the book of Jonah tonight, you'll find that it has four chapters tonight. In those four chapters, there is 1,320 words in those four chapters tonight. In the book of Jonah tonight, you'll find this one of the three hated, criticized books of the Bible. Matter of fact, the liberals and the critics of our day, they cast doubt on the book of Jonah. The three most attacked books in the Bible is the book of Genesis, because it's prophecy concerning the virgin birth and because of Genesis 3:15. Number two, the second book in the Bible that's most attacked tonight is the book of Daniel. And that's because Daniel's prophecy concerning the Lord's coming in chapter 7. But also the book of Jonah tonight is a book tonight that is attacked in our day by the critics. And the reason they do that tonight is because of the main message of the book of Jonah tonight. The main message of the book of Jonah tonight is a resurrection. And it deals with a resurrection tonight. Somebody said, do you believe Jonah died? Well, let me ask you a question. Do you believe Jesus died? If you believe Jesus died, you believe Jonah died. Because the Bible said in Matthew chapter number 12, as Jonah was in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights, so thou shalt the Son of Man be in the heart, and the heart of the earth, as Jonah was in the fish's belly 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. Sure he died. There's no question in my mind about that tonight. He died. There's no question about that. And because of that, how the liberals despise the book of Jonah. They'll say this tonight. Hallelujah, he's alive. I said, thank God he's not dead. He's alive this evening. Oh, yes, he is. Look in Jonah chapter 3. Bible said in Jonah chapter 3, verse number 1, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, have that great city. And notice the word he uses. He didn't say teach. He said preach unto them the preaching that I bid thee. And so Jonah arose. I went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. And now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of a 3 days journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days Nineveh shall be overthrown. And so the people in verse number five, so the people of Nineveh, and here's a great statement. Believe, say it. Believe God. And proclaimed a fast. And put sackcloth from the greatest of them, even of the least of them. For the word of the Lord came unto the king of Nineveh. And he arose from his throne. And laid aside his robe from him. And covered him with sackcloth. And said in ashes. That mean business. Notice the next verse. And he caused it to proclaim and publish it throughout Nineveh. How by the degree of all the king's nobles. That's the Senate and House both. Did y'all get it? Senate and House both say it. Let neither man, nor herd, nor flock, taste anything. Let's read the verse right. And they proclaimed throughout Nineveh a decree, and the king and his noble, saying, let neither men, nor beast, nor herd, nor flock, taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water, but let men and beasts be covered with sackcloth and cry mighty unto God. Notice what he's saying. That's not just a lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I awake, Let me go up yonder. That's not, it's a whole lot more than that tonight. Bible said they cried mighty unto God. How yet them, and they turned every one of them from the evil way, and from the violence that is in their hand. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and return from his fierce anger, how that we perish not? Notice what he's saying in that verse. Who can tell? God might just change his mind. Look at the next verse. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil, how that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. I'm interested in all the chapter tonight. And the preacher said he's going home at 7 o'clock. Right now it's 25 minutes to 6 in Alabama. Notice in verse number 9. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, how that we perish not? I want to preach tonight on this thought. Who can tell? God might just get revival. Who can tell? God might just give revival. Now, wouldn't that be something if God did that this week? I mean, who can tell this? Who can tell? How can I say this tonight? If you're not hungry for revival now, there's something wrong. After all we've been through in the last several months, and after all the church has been through, this stuff that we've been through, I want to say I got a desire. I've got a thirst. I've got a longing. I've got something moving in my soul. I'll see God do something again. And the Bible said in this text verse here tonight, who can tell? God just might give revival. And I want to say hallelujah. I want to say I hope he does tonight. Hope God decides one more time how to move and stir and give us revival again. I remember a preacher showed me this week a picture. Was it 2016? 2016 when how we went up here in the mountain and prayed. How over here, this rock over here overlooking the campground. And I had no idea how God was going to do the next few months what he done after going up there and praying. And I'll say this to you tonight. Thank God, who can tell tonight? God may just give revival this evening. Yeah. Amen. And notice three things by way of introduction here right quick before I get to message tonight. Before revival, you'll always see these three things. Look at verse 1. Bible said in verse number 1, and the word of the Lord come unto Jonah the second time. How to say these three things you see before revival always. Number 1, you see mercy. And you say, how do you get that? Well, the word of the Lord came to him the second time. Thank God we serve a God of mercy tonight. Oh, brother, hear me tonight. We don't deserve nothing. Our country does not deserve nothing tonight. Nineveh did not deserve nothing tonight. When we got leaders in our country that don't even think God can take care of the environment. Poor old God don't know how to do it. It's been a long time since he fixed it. But he don't know how to take care of it now. But we got some smart aleck up here that says they know how to do it. I got to get off that. My blood pressure's moving. Are you hearing me tonight? Hey, God, have mercy on us one more time. Hey, God, have mercy just one more time. This country, I want to say to you tonight, we certainly don't deserve mercy. When I think about Jonah tonight, Jonah certainly didn't deserve mercy either. But the Bible said here in the verse, at the word of the Lord, come unto him the second time. I've been preaching a good bit lately in the meetings, out of the book of Nahum. And when you study the book of Nahum tonight, it pronounces a doom of Nineveh. And if you want to see how wicked Nineveh was, you go to Nahum chapter number 3. I'm talking about witchcraft. I'm talking about vile. I'm talking about wicked. But thank God for mercy. I say thank God for mercy tonight. When I think about America, and I think about the condition of our country, I want to say God don't give us Justice, give us mercy. We certainly need mercy tonight. And I want to say this to you now. God, have mercy on us. I think about what Habakkuk said. Habakkuk said, in wrath, remember mercy. I think about what Paul said, Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, where, hey, listen to me tonight. Thank God for mercy tonight. Mercy always comes before revival. Notice the second thing quickly by way of introduction. Not only mercy comes before revival, but look at verse number 2. He says, verse 1, and when the Lord came unto Jonah, the second time said, arise, go unto Nineveh, have that great city, and preach the preaching that I bid thee. I want to say before revival is always mercy. But also before revival, there's always a message. It's always a message. Bible said in verse 2, arise, go in the Nineveh of that great city and preach the preaching that I bid thee. Now, wait a minute, Jonah. How don't you give your little feeble outline? Jonah, it's not that I want you to give your opinion, but Jonah, you preach what I tell you to preach. And may I say this to you tonight? Every revival that's ever been in the history of time, somebody preached the word of God. Are y'all hearing me preach tonight? The message tonight. It was not Jonah's message, but it was God's message. And I thought about this when I said in this week. Look at the verse again. He said, preach the preaching that I bid thee. Jonah preached the word of God. Look at verse number 1. And the word of the Lord. Thought about this. How did Jonah know the word of the Lord? Where did Jonah learn about the word of God? How did Jonah know how to preach? Listen to me. The message tonight. How did he know that tonight? Well, if you go back in chapter number 1, the Bible says in verse number 1, and the word of the Lord come unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, you know who the son, you know who that is? That's his father. And you know what his name means? It means true. It means trustworthy. I'm talking about Jonah's father, Amittai. It means true. It means trustworthy. It means faithful. And it means fight. Are you listening to me? And it means right. Listen to me. God, he learned it from his daddy. And I'll say this to you now. Jonah had the word of God. And the message tonight is what we need tonight. It's the word of God tonight. I don't know what you think about this man I'm getting ready to say. It really doesn't matter to me. I've been listening to. I'm an independent Baptist, but listen to me. I've been listening to Joyce Myers. No, that's who I've been listening to. I've been listening to Billy Graham. That 460 on you, whatever you call that radio. And was coming to church tonight, he's preaching. I think it was 1952. I ain't never heard nobody preach like that in my life. He's talking about revival and talking about how God honors his word. And may I say to you tonight, before revival, there's always mercy. Before revival, there's always a message. Somebody thank God the message, the word of God tonight. You can't sing it down. You can't shout it down. You can't hoop it down. Are y'all hearing me tonight? I'm telling you, you can't take lights and bring it down. You can't bring curtains down and bring it down. And you can't bring a set of drums and bring it down. It always comes through the word of God. Before revival, there's mercy. Before revival, there's a message. But before revival, there's always a method. Get this. Mercy was God's love. The message was God's word. But the method was God's man. And I'll say this to you tonight. Jonah, he rises and he preaches the preaching that God bid him to preach. Every time I say this, I get labeled this way. You're from back yonder. You're from the old school. You're not on the same planet. It's not that way anymore. I want you to hear me real good. Preaching's always worked.
Yes, sir.
And preaching still works tonight. And I'll tell you, the Bible said, he said, arise and preach the preaching. I'll tell you the method and out of revival. It's a man of God, thank God. I'm preaching the word of God tonight. It still works. Old-fashioned, old-time preaching. Somebody said, well, he gets loud and emotional. It's not the loud and emotional that's bothering you. That's not what disturbs you. I tell you what disturbs you. It's about 6 inches below your collarbone. When that man of God, I'm a preaching good. Are y'all hearing me? I'm telling you, thank God it still works tonight. Before any revival, have the Methodist preaching tonight. Preaching the Word of God. By the way, I thought about this. I don't care if you preach 10 minutes, 30 minutes, or an hour. God's preaching gets it done. And hear what I'm getting ready to say. Jonah was a short-winded preacher. Some of y'all would love him. His message wasn't but 8 words. Found in verse number 4. Had just 8 words. How about his sermon was plain? His sermon was powerful. And his sermon was pointed. And thank God it got the job done. Oh, hear me tonight, friend. Okay, thank God the preaching still works tonight. So I want to say before I preach tonight, before any revival, there'll be the method, there'll be the message, there'll be mercy. And I want to say that comes before any revival. Now, I want to get down these verses tonight. I want to show you tonight, who can tell? Look at verse 9 again. Who can tell if God will turn and who can tell? He may just give revival. How many people come over here and seek God and look for God and seek after God? Who can tell? Thank God, he might just give revival. Yeah. Amen. Notice 2 or 3 things now. Number 1, I'll say first of all, look at verse 5. So the people of Nineveh say the next 2 words. I want you to notice Nineveh's respond. Nineveh's respond. Bible said here in this verse, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even to the least. Notice their response tonight. They heard the word of God, but thank God they responded in a positive way. The Bible said here that they believed God and the results of Jonah's preaching tonight. I'll tell you, it was powerful. Again, it was pointed. Again, it was directed. And I'll say, thank God, as a result of it, that Gentile city got right with God and got saved by the grace of God. It brings results tonight. Jonah's, the results. Nineveh's results tonight. Bible said, look at verse 5 again. The whole city. Think about that. Can you imagine the whole city of Logap having revival? You say, I ain't seen the city of Logap. See Brother Scotty Easter, he'll show it to you tonight after service. Can you imagine the whole city? That's from the White House all the way down to the poorhouse. And I want to say to you tonight, that's what we need in America. Do it again. I listened to Dr. Graham preaching coming up the road a while ago. And I think it was 1952. Brother Robert, you remember 1952. Was Roosevelt president then? He's talking about the president. And he's talking about the Congress and the House and the Senate. How they're seeking a spiritual awakening. That's back there in the 50s. I said, oh dear God, give us somebody in the White House now how they will seek something spiritual, amen. We've come a long ways in the wrong direction. And I want to say the result, the response is they responded from the White House all the way down to the poorhouse. Don't say this. They didn't rebel, but thank God they responded. It wasn't up for discussion. It wasn't that they went home and debated it. It wasn't that they went home and dissected it. But thank God they responded. They responded. They responded tonight. And that's your question. Would you be willing to respond to the call of God on your heart tonight? He may put on your heart, put on some sackcloth and ashes. You want me to tell you the meaning of that? I'll tell you in just a minute. Bottom line of that is humility. Bottom line of that is humbling ourselves. And I want to say their response. And by the way, their response was prompt immediately. They didn't discuss it. They didn't vote on it. They responded immediately. They didn't procrastinate. They didn't put it off. Thank God they responded immediately. And I'll say this, the position of the king, he uses his position to promote righteousness. Look at verse 6. The Bible says, for the word of the Lord came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe up from him, and covered him with sackcloth and said in ashes. Listen to me now. Even the king himself, he knew his position to his nobles, those that work with him. And the degree was that everybody is going to repent. All the respond tonight. I say it was from the White House, thank God, all the way down to the poorhouse tonight. That's what we need in this day. The respond. The respond this evening. And by the way, you want revival, you got to respond. I say if you want revival, you got to respond. I say if you want revival, you got to respond tonight. And hear me tonight. I want it. I want it. I say I want it tonight. Listen to me. If you have ever, and you have, this church has many times, if you've ever had a touch of revival, and God touched you and God blessed you, and I'm not just talking about one service. I'm talking about that thing burned on for months and months and months. They'll respond. Listen to me tonight. If you've ever had that, you're not going to be happy with anything else. And the response was simply this. I'm going to respond now. I want it. And the king took his position and used that to promote righteousness and their revival, thank God. Notice Nineveh's respond. Number two. Notice not only Nineveh's respond. But look number two tonight. Look at verse 6. Bob said again in verse number 6. Nineveh's repentance. Watch this verse. But the word of the Lord came unto the king of Nineveh. And he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and said in ashes. Can you see Mr. Biden and Miss Harris doing that? I'd like to, too. Can you see that? And I know sometimes when you get on this, sometimes they'll click the internet on you. I'm just preaching the truth. Are you listening to me? Notice their repentance. Look at verse 7. And he caused it to proclaim and publish throughout Nineveh the decree that the king and his nobles, that's his helpers, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drank water. Can you imagine that? But let the beast cover them with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in the... Can you imagine this tonight? Notice the repentance tonight. No, the response, but the repentance tonight. He started at the White House and went all the way down. He involved everybody. He'd involved the animals. It involved their appetite. It involved their apparel, what they wore. It involved their action. And may I say to you now, that's what repentance is. Repentance is a change. And repentance is turning from. And notice what they've done. The Bible said they repented in sackcloth and in ashes. That was a common practice in the Old Testament. And it was a way of humbling themselves. And it was a way of humbling themselves before God. That's what Job did. In Job chapter number 1, he said to those ashes there, offering up sacrifices for their children. Now to say this to you tonight, oh God help us tonight. The bottom line to that is simply this. It's humility. It's humbling ourselves before God. At Nineveh's, listen to me. At Nineveh's repentance tonight. Oh my, that sackcloth was long, dark, black hair. Is either a goat's hair or either a camel's hair. And they would put that on as mourning. You ever notice people used to wear black at funerals? Now a lot of people don't wear nothing, but I'm moving on. But listen, they used to wear black. And if you see me do a funeral and I don't have a black suit and a black tie on and a white shirt, You know I've lost it. You'll say, well, no, Brother Mark, I just don't know that you have to have a white, black shirt. What am I wearing? I done forgot. Okay, black suit, white shirt, dark tie. I get so tickled with preachers. I'm in the wrong generation. We're on different planets. There's something holy about this place. Are you hearing me tonight? There's something about that. And there's something about, dear God, you go to the funeral home now. Help me not get on that, Jesus. Are you listening? Man, it's pitiful. It's absolutely pitiful. I see women come to the funeral home. They ain't got enough clothes on to wad the end of that bottle right there. How disrespectful, my soul. I said, how disrespectful. Hey, repentance, how'd I get on that? Repentance tonight is turning. Hey, repentance tonight is turning to God. It's turning away from what you're doing. And turn to God this evening. Repentance. And again, it's a picture of humility. That blackness was humbleness. And they would put that on. I think about what Daniel said. Daniel chapter 9, verse 3. And I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth and ashes. James reminds us. Simon Peter also reminds us. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he'll exalt you in due time. Here's a verse that we used to preach on. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and seek my humble themselves and pray. Humble them, you ain't no need to pray if you don't humble. Have sackcloth and ashes, seek my face. Then when I hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin. Every revival has ever been, somebody humble themselves before God and turn from the wicked ways, thank God, and turn to the Lord tonight. Well, got 2 minutes. Here we go. Nineveh's response. Nineveh's repentance. But look at verse 9. Look at Nineveh's rejoicing. Who can tell? Boy, I read that the other day. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from this fierce anger that we perish not? Notice the rejoicing. Nineveh certainly rejoiced at the fact that God turned from what he said. Now, I'll say this to you tonight. You're living in a country that is judgment bound. And I'm not so sure right now that the judgment of God's not on America. There's some areas I could talk about right now. I'm going to do it. But I'm not so sure we talk about we're judgment bound. I don't know about that. We might not be judgment bound. We may already be there. Because, listen to me now. Because of the wickedness of this country. You can't murder thousands of babies every day and God turn his head. Are y'all hearing me preach tonight? You can't have leaders that were standing in the high leadership of this country and mock God and mock old-fashioned preaching. You know what they call this right here tonight? You know what this is called? I'm trying to think of that word. I probably don't need to think of it, but anyhow, are you listening to me? Miss Clinton came up with that word some time ago. And hate crime. Listen, you don't hate a man because you're telling him he's going to hell. You love a man because you tell him he's going to hell. You don't hate a church because you tell him to repent. You tell him that because you love him. My daddy correct me because I didn't believe it. Saying that's going to hurt me more than that's going to hurt you. I would say you lie about other stuff too. But now I understand that. Now I understand that. And I'll tell you, it's not a hate crime to try to win people to God. You love them and keep them out. Hell, that's what it's about tonight. Oh, my soul. None of us respond. None of us are rejoicing tonight. God, turn from. I thought about this. Here's the. God responded because Nineveh responded. Here's the two big questions that's always asked. Will God repent? Does God repent? Yes, but let me explain it. The word repentance means a change of mind. And I want to say, the respond changes God's mind. Their respond changed God's mind. What's the message? 40 days, God going to destroy this outfit. 40 days, God's going to destroy it. That was the message. That was what God told Jonah to preach. But because they responded, God, are you listening to me? Because they responded, it's Nineveh turned, so God turned. They repented, so God repented. He changed his mind. And they changed, so God changed. Look up here at me. That never changes. But I tell you what changes. The environment changes. That don't change. The thermostat, it's the things that around it, that causes it to change. God didn't change his mind about judgment. God would have judged Nineveh, and the wrath of God would have fell on Nineveh had the atmosphere not changed. Yes, they changed. And because they changed, God turned. Are you listening to that? And who can tell tonight? Who can tell? There might be a nucleus here in this building here tonight. We'll just say, I want God. The atmosphere may just get real good around here. And God may just say, I tell you what I'm going to do on the hill over at Amazing Grace. I know they don't deserve it, but because of what they're seeking and because of their turning and because of their desire, I might just go down and visit with them a little bit. Somebody hold my mule while I shout. He may just do that tonight. Are you hearing me? Oh, Nineveh's rejoicing tonight. And by them changing, God changed. And by the way, repentance is not always repent of sin. Repentance sometimes is just a change of mind. It's a change of attitude. It's a change of action. So in this, you see Nineveh's response. You see Nineveh's repentance. You see Nineveh rejoicing. Don't you see, last of all, Nineveh's results? In chapter number 4, we're not going to turn. But in chapter 4, to my knowledge, there's never been a revival in the history of time like chapter 4. I looked in that guy's book that had studied all this out. You know what I found out? Them little books I got, honey, that ain't a fly-by-night deal. I promise you that. These hours upon weeks goes into them thoughts. And Dr. Graham, I was hearing him preach. And he verified what I said. If you'll study about Nineveh, you'll find there was more than 1 million people, Gentiles, that lived in the city of Nineveh. Nineveh covered 350 square miles. Pretty good sized place. And there's more than 1 million people. There's 120,000 children that come. There's only chapter number 11, or chapter number 4. I believe it's verse number 11, ain't it? It's the last verse. Talks about, it's the last verse. 120,000 children. And listen to me. That's a pretty good revival. Over 1 million people turn to God. I don't know how you feel, but I feel like that's a pretty good revival. Again, I was listening to a preacher coming up the road a while ago. You'll get a lot more out of that than you will WPAQ. You'll get a whole lot more out of that than you will WTQR. You'll get a whole lot more out of that than you will 98.1. Boy, I killed the meeting right there. But listen to me. Hello, darling. Are you listening to me? He may say hello, darling, to you if you listen to him. But here, I was listening to the radio coming up the road a while ago. Dr. Graham was talking about, at this particular time, he was preaching in Oregon. And it was early 90s. And the night before, they had 1,700 people saved. There's 100,000 people there. And they had 1,700 people saved. Pretty good stuff. That's pretty good stuff. If you've never been to the Billy Graham Museum, you ought to go. Pretty good stuff. And in here, and you say, do you agree what he done in his latter days? I don't even agree what I do in my latter days. Are you listening? No, I'm a King James man. I'm never changing.
But hear what I'm saying. I've read about a lot of revivals in my life. I've seen a few revivals. I got to be a member. I got to be a part of a revival this church experienced back in 16. And I've seen a lot of revivals. But I'll say this and I'm done. I have never, ever, ever heard tell of a revival where a million people got right with God. Think about it tonight. My soul. I'll ask this question. I'm closing. Do you really want revival? I mean, really. I mean, do we just want to just come in here Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, do our thing? Because if we don't come, I know what he's going to do. He'll be on the call them all Thursday morning. Boy, I missed some of y'all last night. You better be at church tonight. Huh? Are you listening? Do you seek after God? The older I get, who's going to play the piano? The older I get, come but don't play. The older I get, the more of a desire I have for God. Real Bible faith and trust in God will change you. We need a divine, and this is not the right word, but I'll use it. We need a divine visitation of God. We need God to sit down on us. We need God to be real to us. Has there ever been a time that God was more realer to you than he is tonight? Has there ever been a time in your life that you was closer to God than you are right now? Isaiah said, I'll pour water out on him that's thirsty and floods on dry ground. Jesus stood and cried and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I want to ask you a question. Are you thirsty for anything? Let me tell you what your youngins need. They need to see you have revival. You want me to tell you what your wife needs? Your wife needs to see you have revival. And husband, don't you want me to tell you what you... Hey, we need it.
Yes, sir.
We need it. Nineveh's respond. They didn't procrastinate. They didn't put it off. They didn't put it up for vote. They didn't dissect it. They didn't discuss it in the next meeting. They done business with God. Anybody want revival?